I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Monday morning steakhouse, ready to rock and roll, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Get on the Odyssey app. Don't play. Don't be afraid. It's there for you. I'll be traveling. That's not. I'll be traveling over the next 3-4 weeks a little bit. You can't hear us in Italy, where I'm going to be later on, or visiting my daughter who's overseas, but you can hear it in Boston, Chicago, all over North America. Get the Odyssey app. Listen, just like Mrs. Schaap and Mrs. Sandra does every single morning, and make sure you have it. You can listen to any show at any time, and it's the best app in the business. I'm sitting here. Now it's 6 different partners over about a 2-week period. But Abe Gordon saunters in here with all the confidence in the world, right?
How we doing?
I'm doing awesome on a Monday morning. We've worked together one other time. Did you hear the story that Smokin' Joe Patrick had for us last Friday?
Uh-oh. Was it about me?
No, it was about, okay. It was about meeting me as an 18-year-old out in high school that I did not remember. He walked into my office when I owned the other radio station, and he's like, I want to get into sports talk radio. I grabbed my program director, and he was like hired in 45 seconds. And thus began, never told me the story, he was holding it literally for, been here a couple of years, was holding the story. I always was like, I hope this doesn't end with me being a jerk in any fashion, right? But it turns out it worked out perfectly for him. Got him started on his sports talk journey. And I don't think we have similar stories. How long have you been in Atlanta? You've been in Atlanta your whole life?
Yeah, I grew up here.
High school?
Dunwoody. Let's go. Go Wildcats.
Dunwoody High School graduate of 19, what?
No, 2003. Come on, man.
2003.
I'm turning 40 in like a month. I'm starting to feel old enough. You don't have to tack on the extra years. Now, I have some stories. I probably met you 40 times that you wouldn't remember. Way back in the day, one of my first jobs was at Zabin at the JCC.
Okay.
I was a soccer referee. I was a baseball or softball umpire, and I was a basketball scorekeeper. And I wouldn't scorekeep just the youth games. I would scorekeep, we'll call it the men's leagues.
The over 40s.
We'll call it men's leagues to be respectful. But
well, back in the day, I was probably playing a younger level. But you,
yeah, and it was the cross court. It wasn't the half court. But I remember, I knew who you were back then, and I scorekept a number of your games way back in the day.
What did you take away from that, watching scorekeeping my games?
You got to remember, I was young.
Okay.
And I thought that I was pretty good at basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. And so sitting there watching like y'all's league, I was like, man,
I could take these guys.
I could come in this league right now.
You think? Well,
I still think that.
Yeah.
We're, you know, misconceptions of our own abilities, right?
Yeah. I think that's an important quality to understand where you are on the athletic pecking order, right? What you can hang with and what you can't. Listen, I've been playing those folks. There used to be a Jewish community center right on Peachtree, the original one, right next to a place called the Beer Mug. Were you even in town, Bo, for the Beer Mug? Probably not. So they had, it's when I first moved to town in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And their softball fields, if you hit a dinger, you hit it over the train tracks.
So I got better stories than that. My dad was the commissioner of one of the leagues that played at those fields. And so I would come to the games.
You were tiny.
Yeah, I was young. I was real young.
I talked to your dad about this when we had our event the other night. He was the commish.
Yeah. He didn't want to pay for home run balls. And so after the games were over, we would sneak out behind the field. There was a small trail onto the train tracks that are still there today.
So he put his son's life and limb.
We were pretty careful.
To jump on the train
tracks. So we'd go retrieve the balls that were hit out there.
Yeah.
And that way we didn't have to provide extras next week.
There was it was quite a scene there. A lot of years before they moved out to Dunwoody. But I started playing there 29 years ago. I used to play a lot of pickup hoops. Athletic Club Northeast. My first four years here, which is now being turned in. It's like every great club in Atlanta, over the years is now being turned into a Lifetime. You know that? Lifetime Fitness?
Yeah.
So they bought the one at Athletic Club Northeast on Sheridan. They bought the one right at the King and Queen building, the Concourse Athletic Club. Like, I guess that's not a good biz to be in. Like, the big boys just come in and gobble it up as it may. But back in the day, a lot of pickup basketball. You ever heard of the place called Run and Shoot in,
of course,
in Atlanta?
I think anyone who grew up in Atlanta knows about Run and Shoot, especially, like, I don't want to, like, tie it to, like, one or two people, but, like, when the N1 mixtape tour was going on, they would talk about Run and Shoot
all the
time.
Because it was a 24-hour pickup basketball spot, right?
And it was you know, Legit. Some of the courts, the higher-end courts, were high-level players.
Yeah. And I never played at Run and Shoot, but I heard about it all the time. Great concept that you could go get a run in at 10 at night or, like, 7 a.m. or whatever time it was. Part of old-school Atlanta, which you kind of-ish grew up with. Was Buckhead still cooking when you were...
Yeah. Yeah. Not when I was...
A teenager?
Yeah, when I was under 21 it was.
Yeah.
So I was never able to really partake.
Now the high school kids and young college kids, they're in Buckhead kind of as well now. But it's a different Buckhead. It's not like what the epicenter was of Atlanta, where, like, the whole city would run through the action in Buckhead. We did a piece the other night, a great topic by Joe, which, by the way, they had the MMA card the other night, which was, did it live up to billing or not?
Which one? The one Saturday
UFC,
night?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3:17, I think. I thought some of the fights were really good. Yeah. Couple good
knockouts.
What
time does that end?
This one went relatively quick. I think I was done watching it at like 12:50.
And you knew enough of the guys who were in that?
Oh, yeah.
So you're a big UFC guy.
I'm the biggest UFC fan here at the station by a significant margin.
Okay, I didn't know that. So,
and Joe Patrick, who's supposed to be here and still isn't, I think will attest to that.
Yeah, so anyways, back in the day when it was heavyweight boxing, Buckhead was in its absolute prime. There was nothing like a Saturday night in Buckhead at the Lodge with hundreds of people there checking that out. So he just rolled in. We'll find out what he thought of UFC. But we got a lot of stuff to get to regardless. So let's try out our 9 at 9.
Well, look, we're going to get into it a lot more in our next segment. But the Braves do drop 2 of 3 to the Phillies. Offense could not be found in 2 of those 3 games. They end up going 7-6 in this 13-game stretch. Not exactly the defining moment Braves fans are hoping the season would
turn. So the only reason we're over 500, I guess, is the Mets sweep, right? Is that what you're – Mets sweep, Marlins lose 2 out of 3, split the 4, yeah. Lose 2 out of 3 to the Phillies.
Right.
So the way, as part of the sweep is when Chris Sale had that great start and also busted his ribs.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so even the best part of the entire
kind
13
of a big
games.
Damper.
Yeah.
Yeah, big damper. They are off today. Angels in town for 3 tomorrow. Quaker State 400 available at Walmart on Saturday night. Thought the weather was going to wreak a little bit more havoc on this. I was a little worried they would have to push it to Sunday, but they were able to get going. Chase Elliott, a final lap pass of Brad Keselowski at Dawsonville, Atlanta, whatever. Hometown kid.
Yeah, local kid.
A lot of good stories surrounding Chase Elliott's win. Go read about the car design. Go read about his dog there at the finish as well. But cool stuff there at Echo Park Speedway. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Inter Miami. See ya. FIFA Club World Cup 4-0 eliminated by PSG.
What a fascinating weekend in Atlanta. And when you think about this time of year, so not only do you get the great race and the great coverage from the front, from the morning shift, then you also get a Braves series against your division rival.
Yeah.
Then you also get this absolute, little gift for the soccer fan, which was getting Paris Saint-Germain and Messi and Inter Miami, which a lot of us didn't see coming. Like, you know, middle of summer, all this stuff happening at once. And then you get the UFC card on Saturday night, which was not Atlanta.
Right.
But a great example of just a lot of different things going on, which has to happen before you get into the heart of it. That was 4-0 early in that game, no?
I mean, just coming right out of half and the game was over and that was that. But
The crowd lived up to billing,
right?
It
was packed, yeah. There were thousands of people outside the gates trying to get in when they were about to
kick. They're trying to, like, figure out how Americans responded to the preliminary to the World Cup, which I think is unfair. They talk about a crowd in Orlando of 9,000. They talk about a few other light crowds. But yesterday, a great example.
I think you've seen in the round of 32 and even in the knockouts, it's still team dependent, right? Like, I think Inter Miami and PSG is going to draw crowds.
Yeah, if you can't put up numbers for that, you're going to have a challenge.
I think you're going to have a couple of other situations where there's an Asian team or an African team that maybe isn't drawing quite as well.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see what the draw is for the World Cup, which is coming down.
It's going to be packed.
December.
You don't have to. It's going to be a full stadium.
It's going to be fascinating on behalf of downtown Atlanta to see which countries are rolling through here, how early we think they get here, who has the biggest spend, where is the biggest money, what is the biggest chance of the most excitement.
I will be staying north of the city that entire month.
I'll tell you about what the Olympics was like, because the Olympics was the biggest misconception of Atlanta in history. Remind me to tell you later on today.
I was here for that, so I look forward to hearing it.
All right.
1-1 over the weekend for the Atlanta Dream. They lose in overtime to the Minnesota Lynx, had an opportunity to win that one. They beat the New York Liberty yesterday, but Ryan Howard was injured, had her arm in a sling, so going to be keeping an eye on that. UGA adds 5 commitments to the 2026 class over the last 7 days. Their hot streak in recruiting continues.
They are on fire.
Yeah, it's
Kirby Smart, I wouldn't say lays in the weeds, but he pays no attention to a lot of the portal or early signings or all the things. And then they just pounce, dude. When they're ready to go get their guys, I mean, they've had a hell of a run.
Yeah, and the toughest part about it is if you're a fan of another school and you see 3 hats lined on the table and George is one of those hats, you're like, I mean,
you're in trouble.
He's not picking our school, so there you go. U.S. men's national team in a really fun penalty kick shootout beats Costa Rica. They're into the semifinals of the Gold Cup. Wimbledon underway now, too. I'm excited about that.
A full gamut from young Abe there of stuff that's happening. He didn't mention the Sanchez-Bezos wedding. A lot of dirt on that to share. From over the weekend, you talk about the world of excess. We'll talk about some rumors of folks that were flirty at that thing. Well, you know, we try to do everything here, right? I mean, Bo, I think we're going to have a problem with Abe today.
Too much sports?
I was going to say, he talks a lot of sports. I mean, I'm going to move him in some other directions, including the F1 movie that he saw. We'll talk about our travails of pickleball.
Also a sport?
Where we play in the same location. And I'll just move him where he needs to be moved, right? All this sports. When we come back, I gave this advice to Arthur Blank a long time ago. I'm probably going to have to give it to Alex Anthopoulos. What is it? You got to stick around, I'll tell you. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Abe Gordon sitting in on the Steakhouse. My name is Steak. I get to light up the moniker for 2 hours every day. If you look outside there, you see that the Steakhouse is all lit up. Bo helping out. Smoke and Joe here as well. Joe, what's the review of... first of all, did you have folks over for the fight on Saturday night, the UFC card? Tell us why. So what kind of guest is Abe? Does he come with anything? How does he interact with everybody else? Was it a non-alcoholic event? I mean, like, was this a sober, curious night of UFC? Or is he saying he was dehydrated and he was tentative about having any alcohol?
I'm in the final push for Petrie Steak, and so there's no drinking until after the race.
Do you normally drink? Are you a teetotaler? Are you,
when I have a night for my, you know, for free, I'll get after it.
Well, isn't a night for free a night at his house watching UFC? How much more free can it be?
Too close to Petrie, man. I take this very seriously.
Are you trying to make a certain time? I'm not trying to be condescending. Good for you if you're sober. But how does you drinking on a Saturday night 6 days before the Petrie have any effect?
I just think any consideration to dehydrating at this point, I'm trying to avoid.
Are you, Dude, he has some put in his body. Yeah. So he definitely has some strange picadillos when it comes to this. Are you trying to get an all-time best number for the Peachtree?
I'm trying to break my adult PR.
So what's your adult rep PR right now?
Like 52:30.
Which is how many minute miles? What is that?
It's, I don't know, 8-something.
Okay. So the Peachtree's a big deal. How many years have you been running it?
I've probably done 15?
15 people.
Maybe more.
All right, so separate of him, it sounds like he was no fun. What about the rest of the crew? Do people get after it? Right. Yeah, well, at least you... What'd you think of the setup over at Joe's? Was it a proper setup?
I mean, I've been, yeah.
TV looked good enough. Everybody was, you know.
Yeah, I've been to Joe's before.
Okay, I didn't know this was happening.
A couple of things I would have taken care of in advance that Joe had to sift his way through.
Oh, wow.
Right? You know?
What was that, Joe? What did you come up with?
He had a delay of purchase, and I was like, well, just, why didn't you buy it at 2 p.m.? You knew you were going to have people over.
Okay.
Scanning barcodes and entering.
So you didn't like that. Was there.
You had to log in 9 times.
So annoying. Yeah. What was the culinary? What were we serving? What were the best snacks on the table?
He's having people over, but I don't think we expected Joe to host. I mean,
it was like he was catering dinner for y'all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I didn't have dinner.
So what'd you bring over?
Like I just brought over
like
I'm
Doritos.
I'm still on keto right now. So
jeez, Bo,
man. I gotta get as light as possible for the race.
He's running,
really,
he's on keto,
so
he's
no booze,
no alcohol.
No food.
I was like
pay-per-view ordered late.
Yeah, I just
man, I'm going to Hooters.
Listen, I got a better option and it was wherever he wasn't. But good for you, Abe, for staying.
Well, me eating what I want doesn't prevent you from going ham.
I know, but it's just what'd you bring? Like sausage? What did you bring?
Yeah, kinda like
grilled meats. Oh my god!
It was a small jar.
Guy's not drinking, and he's bringing cottage cheese to a fight night.
But only for himself.
Yeah. I shared some pork rinds with Joe.
Sit there and judge the other.
Do you ever hear the Brian Finneran story of Thanksgiving? Have you heard this story before? So Tony Gonzalez, obviously very, very healthy dude, right? And, you know, his body is his temple, right? Different from Abe in that, you know, he's one of the premier athletes in the world. So he shows up at Thanksgiving at the Finnerans, and he brings his own salmon. And he asked the Finnerans to cook it for him because he can't eat the turkey, whatever. That is such a niche faux pas. Anthony Bourdain used to say, you know, when you show up in anybody's home or anybody's country or anybody's culture or anybody's heritage, you eat exactly and you be gracious about it. You don't show up at Thanksgiving with a salmon and asking the host if they can grill it for you, right? That's got a lot of, the word is D in it. It's got a lot of D behavior in it to do something like that. Never forgot that. Like, you want us to do what?
You know, I think once you ask for, like, usage of the appliance, that's where it goes too far.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even mind bringing your own food.
Maybe,
but
not on Thanksgiving, dude. You're at a big holiday. Like, navigate through it. Just eat Brussels or eat something else.
Well, I would just... In theory, I would eat before and just deal with it. I didn't have a chance to eat before.
Yeah, I'm not referring.
No, I know. But I normally
that story. Tony Gonzalez shows up with his own protein. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Hey. I mentioned before the break. I had a conversation with Arthur Blank. I've been lucky enough to know for a long time, and it's not like the man seeked me out for advice. But I think I was at a lunch with him, or you know, some kind of personal interaction. Where he may have been lamenting the state of the franchise to a degree, post Michael Vick's trip to federal prison and whatnot. And my comment to him was, essentially, having been in the sports business longer than him, because I've been covering sports before he was really in it. He was doing Home Depot, and they made all his money. And I was there the day that they announced he had bought the Falcons. It was a press conference in New Orleans at a Super Bowl where Taylor Smith was there, and he said Arthur's going to buy the team or whatever. And I said, listen— The ride of a professional sports franchise owner is never going to be this wonderful, like life, right? Like anybody, I'm older, considerably older than everybody in the room, but especially with Abe and Joe. Like when you have it cooking with your marriage and your kids, maybe you're making less money than you ever made. And when your professional life is on fire and everything's clicking there, then somebody, God forbid, may be sick or somebody is, you know, now you're worried about. Like it's never all going to be clicking on all cylinders. That's not reality. There's going to be anxiety and stress across the board. And my only comment to him, you rolled in here. First thing he did was ask, what do you want me to do for the Falcons? Work done. The company said, fill the place up. They start selling those $10 tickets at the top of the dome. Then you get Michael Vick. Then you're the most popular franchise it's ever been. And then Michael Vick's the biggest star. And all these things were happening. And then next thing you know, years later, he is being lambasted by certain communities saying he didn't back Michael Vick. I don't understand how he's going to back him. The team's struggling. Doug Johnson's a quarterback at one point. Byron Leftwich is a quarterback. And Arthur has had this up and down run of relationship with the fans and the franchise. This is a really bad run, Abe, right now. 7 straight years out of the playoffs, right? Not something Arthur Blank ever would have ever imagined when his notion of hiring Mike Smith and, you know, the Dan Quinn run and all that. And I would say for the first time, Alex Anthopoulos, I would say the same thing to him. The ride doesn't last forever. Nobody can just keep hitting click, you know, check, check, check in your professional life. And I would say Alex Anthopoulos would probably admit he's failed this team. This lineup that they're putting out on a regular basis, this lack of being able to handle the Jerkson Profar incident, this now reality check of how bad some of these numbers are. You said it in the pre-show. I couldn't agree with you more. If Michael Harris wasn't having one of the all-time worst offensive years that we've ever seen for a regular, and by the way, he's the lowest in Major League Baseball as a starter, right?
Among qualified hitters?
Yeah. Ozzie Albies is having a horrendous season. Austin Riley's numbers are so far, you know, behind what they need when you start looking at the real thumpers and what you need from that corner position. And Alex Anthopoulos has done a really poor job of figuring out how to keep the Braves afloat, because they're not afloat. They're a horrendous offensive team playing guys like Eli White and Alex Verdugo and Nick Allen and insert just one, you know, journeyman, ball player after another. And Alex Anthopoulos has not done a good job and deserves heat for that. This team has been lost all year long.
Well, a couple things. And obviously, we all get excited when we sign these players that come up and make some noise to this extension that looks like it's good for the franchise. You're getting a guy that's valued financially. But when that guy doesn't then keep doing what he's been doing, now you're stuck with a contract paying a guy that's not performing. And I think we certainly see that. Gave Harris a deal, it's a problem. Gave Ozzie a deal, it's a problem. Gave Strider a deal. Now, he's still pitching well, but he's also not quite back there yet. We'll see what he can turn into. And there's now a lot of hesitation, in my opinion, to be like, hey, this, like, Drake Baldwin? We want to talk about Drake Baldwin? You want to sign him to a 6-year deal right now? After seeing how some other guys have had it and then lost it?
Ozzie Albies, a 3-time All-Star, 2-time Silver Slugger Award winner, has a .221 average and 6 homers. His .618 OPS is 160 below his career OPS.
Yeah.
That's not his all-time. That's just his career number. He's 160 below. Michael Harris's numbers is the reason he's been completely benched. Austin Riley is going to shatter his strikeout record. He has had 31 homers in 190 games. 190 games. He averaged 36 and 99 RBIs for 3 straight years. He's going in the wrong direction as well.
Yeah, and look, you can try and blame the hitting coaches. You can try and blame Snit. You can
third
blame whoever
coaches.
You want.
You sure, can blame sure. Third base coaches.
Blame, you know, already made a change there.
Can you blame Alex Anthopoulos as saying you weren't able? I mean, listen, Jerkson Profar in the gut, but this collection of players that you've put out there to try to – the left field were 31st in baseball in terms of left field production. Not surprising, right?
No, not based on happened. The suspension. Yeah.
But you didn't find a way to fix any of this, right? And you're not a factor.
And the other problem is, and you look across Major League Baseball, they're bringing up prospects left and right all over the league. Braves have one of the worst farm systems in all of baseball. There's no one on their eyes here.
I was thinking about that over the weekend. Why aren't you giving somebody a shot? And the reality is, there's nobody really to do it. We'll talk about that, 404-726-0929. If you have a thought on the frustration of the Braves, when we come back, we'll do a tailgate. What do we care about in the tailgate today? What will get somebody listening for the next waiting for the next 6 minutes? Do you have something in there? Should we say Georgia's on an all-time hot streak?
I mean, they definitely are.
You'll explain more?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do that, Mr. Cottage Cheese. It's Steak and Abe on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:41. My name is Steak. I get 2 hours of radio. I've earned the right. I've been in front of this microphone for a long time. Did your dad listen to sports talk radio when you were growing up, Abe? When you were in high school, did you hear?
I think he dabbled a little bit, but not a ton.
So you weren't familiar with our work, me?
I was.
Sandra,
I listened to sports talk radio.
Okay.
In the middle school, high school era.
I want to mention that this hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. I just want to let you know that. Well, we got a bunch to get to. Good news for dog fans. We're going to let him do a tailgate. I've worked with 6 different guys in the last couple of weeks. And Abe is completing the, let's see what it was. Joe, Abe, Drew, Rusty, Sandra. Who else was in the
mix? You worked with Bo one morning, right?
No, Bo Morgan and Mike Johnson.
Yeah,
so that's
Mike, yeah.
7. And, you know, you got to be versatile. You got to try to be a good point guard. When I say great point guard, what's the first give me 2 guys, stream of consciousness, great point guard.
Yeah, like obviously for my kind of, I go to Kidd and Nash.
Okay. I would say I go John Stockton,
right.
Isaiah Thomas.
Sure.
Right? So when I say to you, Joe, stream of consciousness, great point guard, what are the first 2 names that jump into your head? Just great point guard, stream of consciousness. Okay, well, there you go. Stream of consciousness. I just had that as well. So I don't have any Hawks. I don't have any Celtics, which are the 2 teams I root for. But anyways,
we going to get hate for not immediately saying Trae Young? Is that?
No, that I don't think so. I don't think we put him in. I think of a guy that likes the ball in his hands a lot, probably too much, right? Talk about ball dominant. The word ball dominant point guard, you should look up Trae Young. He probably is the name you see in the dictionary. All right, let me ask you another question, sir. Compare and contrast. You just spent a week working with Randy and a week working with Andy, filling in. Compare and contrast. What is an easier, well, what's the big difference in working with those
two guys?
Well,
I mean, the big difference is that my responsibility is different with Randy than it is with Andy. With Randy, I'm directing the content to some extent, and I'm kind of building the topic segments and ideas that are put forth on air. With Andy, I'm kind of reacting too.
You're the number 2.
Yeah.
He's the point guard.
Correct.
Are you doing, because you gave me a full rundown, which was impressive, right? But are you doing that when you're working with both of them, or just? Oh, you are.
Yeah.
So that's just your kind of.
This is a habit. I don't.
Anal retentive. Yeah. OCD. I want to be organized, right?
Yeah.
So do you prefer to play the 2 or play the 1?
It kind of depends on the day and the discussions that are being had.
Uh huh.
I didn't
ask you all that. I just asked you, do you want to play the 2? Or the 1.
I like playing the 1.
Yeah, I figured so much.
Yeah, who
just
doesn't?
Be straight.
Who doesn't?
I don't know. Like, I enjoy that a lot, but Sandra, I came in late after an event here, and I cleared it with Mike. I said, listen, I can take the day or I can just come in because there's something I have to be at. And I came in and ran the 2, which there's something nice about just sitting back and reacting.
It's not that you don't prep or don't have pressure to perform or whatever, but there's a little bit of that. Where it's
it takes the pressure off a little bit.
For me and you as well, like I follow everything, I watch everything. I'm fluid in terms of sports discussion. Like I feel I can go pretty much everywhere
yeah.
and anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And so whatever you toss my way, I can get out.
That's why you're a good number two as well. I don't follow sports like you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the semi. You're a single guy in your late 30s. Like, I'm an older gentleman in his 50s that have a million. Like Tom Brady said, hey, I'm in my 40s. I got a lot of going on, right? Do you remember, Joe, what he was referring to when he said that, Tom Brady? He said, what do you guys want from me, man? I'm in my 40s. I got a lot going on, right? Yes. The three, if you can get paid to be a three, that's a nice gig to have. Do you remember what he was talking about when he said that, Tom Brady?
I don't.
That was when he had his 9 days middle of training camp. Gisele Bündchen had just left him, and he literally, you know, like, I think there is a relatability, even though Tom Brady's not exactly relatability. He's about as relatable as that wedding that took place in Venice between Lauren Sanchez and Jeff Bezos, right? Like, think about the last wedding you went to where that was at, like, some, you know, Knights of Columbus Hall, and then think about that. But anyway, but the relatability factor was, at some point, and you probably have divorced friends, she just said, I'm out. And he didn't see it coming in the sense that he always thought there'd be a shot. So you're in the middle of NFL training camp, and Tom Brady left. I think it was for 10 days when Bruce Arians was and he came back, and they were like, hey, buddy, what was going on? He goes, dude, I'm in my 40s. I got a lot of going on, right? In other words, I'm trying to scramble here because I'm about to be a part-time dad, right? Like, you know, now it's, again, easy to be a part-time dad when you get planes, trains, and automobiles to take anywhere, but anybody can relate. And that would be my point to you. You've got the multiple TVs in the living room.
I sure do.
Multiple
TVs. Four of them.
Four of them in your main area.
Just sitting there. Just like my own personal sports.
Have you been to his house, Abe's house? But have you seen the four TVs in the living room? Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that is just, you know, he marches to a different tune. Like, so how often are all four in play at the same time?
Every college football Saturday, 100% locked
in. But I mean,
in,
when you're
sure.
on a Wednesday night in baseball season, is it just one TV
it
on?
Depends, like, what else is on. Like, there's a good shot that I'm watching the Braves and, salt, like, let's say the Gold Cup is going on.
Would
like
you
it is
be
right
watching?
Now. I got the Atlanta Dream on
one
TV.
I was going to say WNBA and the Braves.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Will you ever be streaming a show and having a sporting event on at the
all
same
the time.
Time?
All the time.
What have you streamed lately that we should care about? You're going to review F1 for us later.
I will. Well, like, Old Guard 2 is coming out on Netflix in a couple of days, so I rewatched the original Old Guard.
What is Old Guard?
It's a movie with Charlize Theron on Netflix that I watched.
Right.
Yeah, I rewatched it just to get caught back up.
Have you guys seen Mobland? I mean, dude, have you seen Mobland?
I don't think I have a subscription.
So
to
it's Showtime.
Yeah, I don't have that,
dude. It's
you want to share your account?
It's the easiest 9 episodes, the most violent, crazy, over the top. Pierce Brosnan, Tom Hardy, whatever. How many streaming things do you have? Are you one of those younger folks that go in and out of subscriptions based on what show's hot?
No, I keep the same subscriptions.
Which
I
is
have,
what?
I have Netflix. I have Amazon Prime Video, I have Apple TV, and I have Peacock.
Okay, so you don't have Max.
I don't have Max. I don't have Showtime. I don't have Hulu.
Yeah, that's a pretty good array right there. You're not missing much. So you don't have The Bear, which is on Hulu, but you can watch that on Fox. You have over the air TV. Anyways, let's talk about college. Let's talk about the Dogs. Go Dogs! Listen, it's going to be a very fun fall. It's been a pretty good early summer. Talk to me.
It's interesting because we've gone through this NIL era, and everyone keeps saying that these programs aren't going to be getting as many high-profile recruits because you can only afford to pay so many of them at whatever cost it's going to be while keeping guys on the roster. It just doesn't seem to faze Kirby Smart. He keeps loading up. And in 2026, I mean, this class continues to build. We knew it was a big get for Jared Curtis, the quarterback, the lone five-star currently in the class. Over the last couple of days, Kamari Brooks goes there. Craig Dandridge goes there. Corey Howard goes there. Jay Lamar goes there. And it's just like four-star. It's a parade. I know a lot of places here in Atlanta on Friday, July 4th, they're going to have parades. It's like in Athens. It's just a parade, but the only people riding are four-stars.
You know, I'm lucky enough to, because I've been here a long time and, you know, been around different businesses and sports talk radio, talked to a lot of CEOs. We do the segment here. Ed Bastian's been in here live. A guy named Chris Womack, who is the CEO of the Southern Company, a lot of bigwigs. But I'm going to tell you this. There is a lot to be learned for how Kirby Smart handles his business. And it is a business. It is a hundreds of million dollar business where he just has a calmness about what they do, about how they go about how they sell the program, about what, when they get in the program, he wants to do with these kids. There is no panic. There is a sense of competitiveness, but not out of control. And listen, we all know that Kirby Smart's going to be able to go on the speaking circuit when he's finally done and earn a lot of money on how you build a program and stay within your roots. But that's what you keep seeing. Like, you know, I'm not going to outspend necessarily prior to these new rules in NIL. I'm not going to lose my mind over a kid if he doesn't, you know, if he's trying to leverage us. But he just understands what Georgia offers.
And the other thing is, here, Stake, is at the end of the day, all of these kids are looking to get to the same place, and it's the NFL. And he 100% can just say, I'm better at getting you to the top parts, first and second round, than anyone else.
I'm going to get you drafted higher. I'm going to get you to your second deal faster in terms of dollars, right? And that's how you set yourself up for life. You don't go to Georgia as a four or five star and think, I want to get the league minimum. I want to get the league average, which is be in the league for 2.8 seasons. No, you're thinking about how can I change my life? Changing your life, ask Jordan Davis, ask Jalen Carter, ask, you know, any litany of guys, how you change your life, you go to Georgia.
It's also the greatest counter argument to NIL money, which is just small pebbles compared to the boulders you can get in the NFL.
Yeah, great.
You want to make $6 million now? That's cool. I get it. I got $45 million for you in 5 years. It ain't going to be me paying you. It's going to be some NFL team.
You're a pass rusher, and you want to play more. I can make a case that nobody's going to be looking at your sack numbers. Nobody's going to worry that you only played half the snaps. You're going to be fresher when you get to the league. You're still going to be a first or second rounder, and you're going to get paid like pass rushers get paid in the NFL, but you got to respect the process, which is come here and we'll get you there. And Kirby has done it.
Yeah, and you look at the all-time great coaches, there's always trying to be an argument for why this coach will lose it over the next couple of years. We saw decades of arguments of Nick Saban won't adjust to the game or this or that, and has he lost it? People have been trying to say this now the past couple of years about Kirby Smart, and you just look at the recruiting classes, and it's just no.
Any other story that our audience cares about in the tailgate that would be important? Steve Spurrier, what was he talking about? Arch Manning, he said that.
I think he questioned all the hype surrounding Arch Manning. I mean, it
is a lot of pressure for Texas and Arch Manning, given we've waited a couple
of years. If he was that good, he would have beat out Quinn Ewers at some point, right? Like, Quinn Ewers is a guy that got drafted in the sixth round. He was very clearly hurt at times last year, and they kept rolling the ball into his shoulder.
BYU quarterback Jake Ratzlaff, he's done, right?
Well, look, he is dealing with some very serious civil allegations, battery and assault, and there's a lawsuit. Innocent until proven guilty is kind of what he's hoping.
But he's going to leave
but
BYU.
BYU is just like, this is an honor code violation.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They're suspending him for 7 games, whether or not this gets dismissed or settled. And so he's looking to transfer. How do you can't touch him right now.
Let me ask you. That's the tailgate on Sports Radio 92.9. When it is a Saturday in the Abe Gordon household, there's four TVs going?
Yeah, plus a computer and a phone potentially.
Have you taken a morning run already? Is it snacks all day long?
No, I try and still be healthy. I probably at some point either.
You're not gambling, right?
No, but I will have run or taken a long dog walk.
All right, but like the joy is just watching a lot of games. Are you tweeting out that?
Sometimes. I love missing nothing, though. Like, It's some of my greatest pleasure is like knowing I saw everything there was to see in college football that day.
You know, Bo, who can say I love missing nothing? Somebody that doesn't have, and I'm not being critical, somebody who's not in a relationship and doesn't have kids. Try telling that to your wife. If I said to my wife, Kimberly, let me explain the plan for this season, I'm going to miss nothing.
Sorry, got to watch Wisconsin-Miami at noon.
I'm going to miss nothing. What'd you say about a Saturday night? No. I don't think you understand that there's a 10 o'clock Cal Santa Barbara USC game that I have to check out as well. No, I'm going to miss nothing. Said nobody married ever. But Abe, he does his thing. You know what else Abe tried to do? I give him credit. He came in here and he is trying to steamroll something, frankly, that the steakhouse has never seen before. Does he pull it off? I'll tell you when we come back. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's 10:03 in the steakhouse. How y'all doing? My name is Mr. Steak, and I want to remind everybody the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, man. I mean, they're making it happen, bro. They ain't even playing pressure washing. Also, the tailgate was brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. That was Abe just tossing some things. Abe Gordon's here. Steak and Abe. Making it happen. I guess you're going to be filling in a little bit on the steakhouse over the next week and then a few weeks in July on and off, right?
Yeah, so Wednesday and Thursday. Out. I'll be with Sandra and Rusty and then.
Just treat Sandra like she deserves to be treated.
I've worked her a couple of times.
She's the queen. Yeah. She's the queen of Atlanta radio. I mean, Joe, you understand that, right? I mean, Reverence. When you showed up in my door at 18 years old, when you were getting out of high school, Sandra was already, she's done sidelines. She is the typical example of a media person that just figured it out, right? She was a sports reporter, traveled with the Braves as their sideline reporter, did anchoring. She was a weather person in Panama City, all kinds of stuff going on. So, we'll be together tomorrow. I need my fix. Me and her are like an old married couple. You know, it's good when we don't see each other for a while. I don't need to put it that way. It's not that I don't like to see wife for now. But like sometimes just, you know, you have some time apart, right? And then you get back together and you remember what you loved about that person.
I was going to say, yeah, the break tells you why you wanted to get back with that person.
I mean, everybody likes alone time, right? As guys. Yeah. Especially when you got a house with three kids and a wife and all of a sudden, are you going to be okay this weekend? We're all going to be away. Oh, man.
It's tough to tell them that's not your favorite weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll fight through it. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do. I may end up playing golf with the guys. I don't know. Or just like sitting around just watching sports all weekend. But I'll figure it out. I'll persevere, if you will. So we're going to get to something a little bit that Abe, I mean, I give him credit. He gave an outline of what he wanted to talk about. And I was like, I haven't seen this too often for an entire segment. But before that, how do you think the city and the next few months, and I'm not telling you that we can't go on a run and, I don't know, go, you know, 13 of 15, but I am telling you that. Yeah, this lineup, we know what this offense is. Jerkson Profar is going to help a lot, but, you know, this is a Braves team. I mean, that was anemic yesterday, man. Sean Murphy hits the home run in the second, I think. Do not score again. What was Friday night? 13-0 or something ugly? What was?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I mean, like, and I've been saying this, like, just get used to it. This is just going to be a year where the Braves are not in the conversation. Who's the kid that pitched for Detroit last night that was...
Tarik Skubal?
Dude.
I mean, he's the best pitcher in the American League.
I was
going
to say, I have... He's the
maybe
best
in all of baseball.
Dude, yeah. I hadn't watched him.
Oh, yeah, that's what you think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm not sitting around watching Tiger baseball. I mean, maybe, you know, as I said, we have different priorities in life. But I did sit there last night and watch, and I was like, this guy's unhittable.
Yeah, he's legit. He's legit.
Last year's Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
This year's Cy Young winner of the American League. Will start the All-Star game if he wants to, I'd imagine.
Maybe. I think there's a low-key push. This is just my own theory. I think there's a low-key push to get Max Fried to start the AL All-Star game.
Really? Ahead of this guy?
Well, it's Max Fried coming back to Atlanta. There's storylines.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either.
I think this kid's starting. So, but what do you think about Atlanta just dealing with a summer where we're just a baseball team? You know, there's nothing special about us.
I think what's fascinating to me is people still can't decide what they want Anthopoulos to do. Are we still trying to put something together right now? Are we selling?
You just talked about our farm system, right? The last thing
I've been on this for weeks.
Yeah. We need to listen. Ozuna's hip is messed up also. You know, he's nowhere near what you need him to be. You got to be, here's the problem. You can be a seller of Ozuna, but not when he's got that issue.
Right.
So a lot of teams are not going to give you what you could have gotten for him and stick him in the middle of the lineup.
Here's what hurts, in my opinion. Because I was in like, hey, let's just sell as many of these guys as is feasible and try and rebuild a system. And if you want to go for it next year, you have some prospects you can then move next year. I was ready to move Chris Sale. His injury, I think, is a backbreaker for any potential of Anthopoulos lining up a couple of high-level prospects.
Now, if you go get the pieces you need and you move on, whether or not it's from Ozzie or Michael, and you add some free agents, and I know the Braves will be very different this next year. When you have Chris Sale, Schwellenbach, and Spencer Strider,
yeah.
aren't you Grant Holmes
the way he's been throwing.
Aren't you going into next year in a alpha position? I know, as bad as this year has been, if you fix the lineup, I mean, you really want to miss with Chris Sale when he has some of the best stuff we've ever seen.
What makes you think you're going to fix the lineup? Like, you have to give something to get something.
Well, because maybe we'll be buyers in free agency, first of all. Maybe we'll
When have the Braves been buyers in free agency?
On occasion. Well, we were buyers with Jerks and Profar, were we not?
Okay.
Yeah, so the guy had a great year. We went and got him.
So we're just going to rely on one piece.
No, I'm saying no. He's going to be there. We already signed him,
and it's a 2-year deal, so he'd be here next year.
And you know whatever it is, Alex figures it out. Do you want to trade Chris Sale? I don't know. Point being, it's going to look different. The one advantage you have over everybody in baseball, those big three: Strider, Schwellenbach, Chris Sale. Other than that, you have Ronald Acuna. Other than that, there's nothing special about your baseball team. You know, those three guys and Ronald Acuna are what makes you different. Now, what made you different was Austin Riley hitting bombs and Matt Olson's consistency and Ozzie Albers winning Silver Slugger Awards and Michael Harris, you know, being the best defensive center fielder in baseball and also the ability to hit 20 home runs. Well, that's not the case anymore. So we shall see. It will be interesting for Braves fans to have to live a normal summer of just realizing this ain't it. Eli White wasn't it. Alex Verdugo wasn't it. Nick Allen wasn't it. There's nothing about, you know, Ozzie's not it. Michael's not it. None of it. Like, none of it is worth.
Okay, but how many Braves fans, and you talk to people in the city, same as I do, how many Braves fans do you think have come to that realization that this season isn't it yet?
Oh, I think a lot now. You had a 13-game stretch. You went 7-6. You didn't go on the big run. Now, you know, maybe if Jerks and Profar ingest something. But, listen, all you got to do is watch with your own eyes what's happened to some of these guys, and you just realize. And the rest of the National League, I mean, they're just – it's not happening. There's too many good teams in the National League. And that's from almost everybody in the National League West, right? Padres, Giants, and Dodgers. Then, of course, you know, you already know about the Mets and the Phillies. The Cubbies are good. The Cardinals are good. I mean, there's a lot of good baseball teams across the National League. I want to get into something else. I got a show sheet from him today. And I look at it, and I saw something that was shocking. Absolutely shocking. There were like 13 NBA stories. And I was thinking to myself, in what world am I going to get on the air, as much as you and I are probably the two biggest NBA fans at the station, right? Or basketball.
Andy and Randy, too. They live and breathe it. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're good NBA. They're solid NBA. I've worked with Sandra, who had the funniest rejoin. Did you hear her rejoin last night? Her rejoin, her recycler last week. She goes like, Wednesday on the Steakhouse, we'll look at the Braves and Mets, continue their series, and Steak will try to break down the first round of the draft, and I'll fake my own death. So clearly letting you know how she feels about the NBA. But you've got like 13 stories. Like I owned a radio station here for a lot of years. I sat in those research. So we do these phone calls. Hey, we'd like to ask you some questions about sports in Atlanta and blah, blah. And we try to like make content decisions. Yeah. Way overpaid some survey company or consultant, right? But rarely did you say more NBA, more NBA, more NBA. Yeah, you rolled in here today. Did you think we were going to do 15 minutes of NBA?
I put it out there for you to pick and choose. I don't expect to
use. Joe.
Expect to use the whole thing.
Joe, I want you to rate how important this story is on a scale of 1 to 10. Minnesota, a 3-year deal for Julius Randle. For me to put out there on the air, 1 to 10. On the air, yeah. Here's another story. DeAndre Ayton is going to hit free agency after the Blazers finalize a contract buyout. Well,
now, that's actually a big one. I want to talk about that one. That's actually a significant one. The Lakers need a big man. It's free money for them. It's a perfect fit.
Bobby Portis is having a 3-year, $44 million deal to go back to the Bucks. What would you put that at?
Now, that's a big... No. I mean, this is a significant discussion because of the potential of the Hawks. Yeah,
Bobby Portis isn't good enough to affect one way or the other.
I'm hoping that he's bad enough to affect it.
In all seriousness, because we do like talking NBA. I have never been in more. I was at a pool party. I was at a pickleball game. I was at something with my kids. Oh, yeah, a soccer game. I've never had more people ask me about the Atlanta Hawks in an off season than right now. That was a spectacular week. Last week,
I think to your point, I had more people talking Hawks this week over the course of Tuesday through this weekend than they did last year when we drafted Risa Shea.
There's so many, yeah, of course, because nobody knew Risa Shea either. There's so many cynical Hawks fans, like they just their first reaction, they want to just be something like sarcastic. And I'm like, and I was at a party yesterday with a guy that's always just like, oh, yeah, what are they doing over there? I go, hey, what about that move? He goes, that's impressive. Porzingis getting Newell at 23, and now the Bucks and the Pelicans.
Yeah.
We get the worst of them. We get that pick.
The better of them in your favor.
Whatever team is worse. Whatever's better in the lottery.
The more favorable pick.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, this is like the first time in a long time with the Hawks that you sit there and say you got the better of another team. Close cut.
No,
discussion.
I've never seen a GM. Is that his title, Dumars? Is he the GM? President of the ops?
I
whatever.
Think he's technically
I've never seen a guy get taken out by the media like the Pelicans. Now, again, as I said, Pelicans may be better than you think. You don't know what the lottery doesn't fall where you want. It could be the 10th pick and you had the 13th, but the draft next year is loaded. That's the good news. And I'm excited about I am like all-time excited to see Porzingis out there with the Hawks and this group and thinking about Jalen Johnson spending the offseason doing what he needed to do and thinking about Risa Shea putting on 25 pounds and thinking about Dyson Daniels a year later and thinking about a Congo. Man, I will talk NBA with Abe. But first, when we come back, a lot of Atlantans had this happen to them on Friday that nobody saw coming. Rusty Manziel with the travel day from hell that a lot of Atlantans can relate. That's coming up after the break. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Get the Odyssey app. Hi, how are you? The Odyssey app, you know what I'm talking about? Like every time that you're on the Odyssey app, an on-air host gets his wings. I've told you this before. When Mike Conti keeps telling us more Odyssey app, more Odyssey app, more Odyssey app. I'm not going to argue with him, right? I just follow orders. You know that? I'm an order follower when it comes to you just come in here, get you 2 hours, mention the app. Number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast. Biggest ratings in sports talk radio history. We're not even in football season yet. I saw the ratings. I'd be very, very concerned if I was in the same business in the same city and I saw the ratings going on right now. Particularly, I mean, Andy and Randy are on a friggin' heater. I mean, a heater. He looked like that guy in the Tigers last night that was just dominating, right?
That must be the producer, right?
Yeah. Have you seen those numbers?
I have. I'm on the emails.
I hope you're tied to some kind of incentive bonus thing or something.
I'm not.
No? Maybe they'll throw you a little bit of something if they... I'm just saying, I've seen the numbers. Steakhouse ain't far behind, right?
No, not at all.
Steakhouse is right on their tails, right in there, baby. Is Rusty ready to rock and roll? All right. So, word started to spread Friday that we were having another one of those. It's just a reality. It happened sometime. It happened last summer. It happened again the other night. Nightmarish situation at Hartsfield-Jackson. Like guys who had like 12-hour delays, buddy of mine drove to Providence, which was like, I don't know, 16 hours. Everybody else like sleeping in airports and like trying to get, like it was a nightmare. And they shut down air traffic control at some point. Rusty Manziel, who's traveling the Southeast, always has some big event. Rusty, in terms of travel days for a 50-year-old man, where does it rank was it Friday? Where does it rank in terms of worst?
Never been involved in anything like that. And look, you know, I'm a Delta guy, thick and thin. I mean, I'm with Delta.
Yep.
But it was out of their hands. But I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, airports. Long story short, I'm down at the OT7 event, National All-Star. It was crazy. Jeremiah Smith, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Newton, Geno Smith, everybody down there. By the way, Jeremiah Smith has a badass black Lamborghini. I can attest to that.
Okay.
Freshman All-American, Ohio State, Joe Patrick, shout out. But I would tell you this. I caught an earlier flight. I was supposed to fly out Saturday morning. I was like, you know what? I'm done for the day. I've done my interviews. I'm going to catch this 8:30 flight from Fort Lauderdale to Atlanta. Get to the airport a couple hours early. I'm working from the airport, start seeing a little bit of weather. Then we get a notification there's going to be our flight's delayed 45 minutes. Then we get another one about 20 minutes later said it's delayed to 10 o'clock. I jump on the Delta app, which is great, and I go, oh, my gosh, there's a 9 o'clock flight. It's still on time. I'm going to jump back on that 9 o'clock flight. I get on that 9 o'clock flight. Everything's good. I'm like, hey, I'm rolling. We get on the plane, go through the security video. I'm locked into a movie. We get all the way out to the runway. The pilot comes on and says, guys, Atlanta is shut down. We're just going to go back to the gate. We're going to sit there for a few minutes and see what happens. We go back to the gate for about 30 minutes. He says, hey, guys, we're having problems with our air conditioner in the back of the plane. That was the first sign of things were about to turn for the worst. So then they get us off the plane. So we get off the plane, Stake, for about 45 minutes. They put us back on the plane around 11 p.m. We sit on that plane for another hour. He comes on the intercom and says, guys, we're going to know something in 10 minutes. 10 minutes later, he comes on and says, guys, they're going to let us know something in an hour. So I'm on the plane at that point two more hours. Around, I would say, 1 a.m., he comes over the intercom and says, guys, we are timed out. We're timed out. We're going to get you off the plane. I realized then that we weren't getting out of there. And luckily, by the grace of goodness, I'm on my Delta app on that plane, and I changed to a 6 a.m. flight. Had I not hit that button to confirm that flight, people were having to fly out of West Palm Saturday night, 9 and 10 p.m. When I landed in Atlanta, Steak, at 8:30 Saturday morning, that line for the Delta, I've never seen anything like that. Ronald Acuna bobblehead night, I'm being dead serious. That's what it looked like to me. It was all the way from the beginning of the terminal all the way past 10, 12, 14 gates. Never seen anything like it.
Just to be able to change flights and get to your summer.
Just to be able to change flights. Yeah, I had to sleep in the airport.
You slept in the airport.
I slept in the floor on concrete, my man. I took a Dogs HQ t-shirt. I covered up these 51-year-old legs. I took my laptop bag and I rolled up three of polos that I had and put it in my laptop and laid my head down and I set my alarm. I know what time the Starbucks in Fort Lauderdale opens, by the way, at 4 a.m. Because I'm telling you something, when that thing opened at 4 a.m., people were sprinting.
When they shut down the tower, that's when everything changed. Because now everything gets canceled.
That's when I knew.
Yep.
Yeah. And
so
the guy came on the intercom and said the storm just set over Hartsfield, it would not move.
So you got pulled off the plane two different times. They yanked
two different
you
times.
On the tarmac.
Times. Two different planes. Yeah. I got to the runway. We were not, because I talked to the pilot. I said, how close were we? He goes, we were number two. Yeah. He goes, they hit us right then. I can't remember the pilot's name. Super cool, super transparent. As much communication as we could get, he was giving the guys. We can't control the weather in Atlanta, but he was great with communication. And that really, truthfully kept people, I think, at ease because it was out of his hands, but we knew what was going on. And I'm telling you, when he told us, you're going to have information in an hour, I looked at my phone, we had information in an hour. But he was not going to let us sit on the plane. I saw, I guess, Ben Watson, he and his family had to sit on a plane for 7.5 hours, wherever he was, I think in the Bahamas.
Yeah, it was bad, man. It was a rough time. And then when you see one of those lines, have you ever been,
one of those Monday mornings
that goes out of the rotunda to outside into the baggage claim?
Yeah.
One of those? Have you ever seen one of those?
I see them. I don't understand the people, and I know Rusty's obviously in a tight situation. The people who, like, wait to the airport to get all of that stuff done. Like, if you can check in on your app, if you can everything that you can do ahead of time, do ahead of time.
But the problem was that so many flights got backed up. No, I'm telling you, guys grabbed.
I read this morning their app crashed. I don't know if that's true, but I read that.
Well, yeah, because everybody was trying to
log in.
I told you, my buddy was like 12-hour delay. They got in a car and they just drove. They had their summer vacation up in, I don't know where it was, somewhere in New England.
I thought, I'm dead serious. At one point at 1 a.m., I go on my Waze app and I go, how far is it from Fort Lauderdale to Roanoke, Georgia?
Yeah.
It was 11 hours and 20 minutes. I thought about it. If I leave at 7 a.m., I'll be home tomorrow night at 9 because I knew every flight, they have like 6-7 flights from Atlanta to Fort Lauderdale. I'm talking about immediately you get the standby button. And I was like, my goodness, had I not hit that button, there's no telling what I would do Saturday.
Hey, before we go, Rusty, why is Georgia on such a heater? How do you describe the last week, 10 days for Kirby Smart?
Never been in part of that. Never seen anything like that. And I think what's happened, Stake, is, and Abe knows this, Stake, you know, this. Remember the old signing day back in February when all those kids used to make their decisions on National Signing Day? That's kind of where June is now. All these kids are done with their official visits. Can't take any more official visits. It's shut down until football season. And all these kids are tired. They're done with it. They're all making their decisions. And I think Georgia, listen, the one thing I'll say about Georgia and one thing I'm confident in, if Kirby Smart gets you to campus and he sits down with your mom and dad and you go through that presentation and you go through that official visit weekend, I was down there Friday with a kid named Chase Calicutt. Georgia beat Texas head-to-head. He flat out said, openly said, I turned down hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to Georgia. And the reason I'm going to Georgia is because I think they can develop me for NIL. I mean, for NFL. And he was like, look, everybody's got great official visits and all that. When I went to Georgia, that visit completely changed my mind. And seeing with those DB coaches and who they're got, and Kirby Smart's a DB guy, it was a big one. I saw Jared Curtis, first time Jared Curtis was thrown all spring. First time I got a chance to see him, and Georgia fans are going to be excited about that. And he's excited. Listen, he. I know people look at him, and he's all tatted up. And, you know, being around Jared Curtis, the more I'm around him, the more impressed I am with this kid. Loves freaking football, could care less about the recruiting part, doesn't want any of that. He's down there openly recruiting kids, trying to get kids to come to Georgia. He was very excited. So he's 6'3", 235 pounds. This is a big-ass dude, man, in person. I'm telling you, this kid has got an electric
arm. Who's the other? Give me two more names because we got to go. Two more names that in 3 years they'll be front and center dominating or trying to dominate in the SEC for Georgia.
There's a kid, I think it's Joey O'Brien's about a 6'3 safety going to Notre Dame, straight top 10 pick, no question. Baller from Pennsylvania, went to go to Notre Dame. Kid named Sadarian Morgan is a 5-star wide receiver out of Montgomery, Alabama. I think he's a more twitchy George Pickens, but he's a 6'3, 6'4, catches everything. You look at those kind, you're like, you know what? Hey, that's an NFL guy. I mean, just hard not to look at those kids. So,
all right.
A lot of good players down there. It was wild. It's on NFL Network yesterday. NFL Network televised that whole thing down there. I'll talk more about that. It was at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. It was wild. But I'm telling you, it was probably 60 or 70 of the best players in America. Got to talk to a lot. Drew Rosenhaus. I'm standing there with Drew Rosenhaus on the sideline. I mean, it was a who's who down there now.
I'm glad you're back safe and sound. We'll see you this week, right?
See you Thursday, man.
Back on the air. You ain't seeing me. You're seeing Abe. All right. When we come back, things I learned over the weekend. All the dudes on the listening now that don't care about the Jeff Bezos, Lauren Sanchez wedding. Too bad. There's a rumor about the hottest woman in the world and who was courting her till 2 a.m. Wait till you hear this one. Also, F1, the Brad Pitt film, is out. Our buddy Abe was there. Saw it on Friday right after the show. Is that right?
I went as soon as it came out Thursday, first right. showing.
So we'll get that from him coming up. And play some Three Strikes, Sports Radio 929.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I made a big mistake in the break. I was supposed to be working on Three Strikes. Listen, even the great ones have missteps, right? My buddy called me. I teased. You know when you have a good tease, Joe? When one of your buddies calls you, he's so busy, he's going to a meeting. He's like, I need to know that who was the super hot girl hanging out with who at the wedding, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I then engaged him. What I should have said is, listen on the app after your meeting. Go to the segment. It'll be listed, right, Abe? It'll say something like,
yeah, we'll get the, we call them a chapter. We get it titled and chapter. Very easily find it on the app. Use the rewind function. He knows it's at 10:42. You can rewind on the app. A lot of ways to.
So I should have just right told there. Him that, but instead, it's kind of a big wig who called me, Mr. Saltzman, Andrew. From the Hawks, president of the Hawks, he called.
Yeah.
So I should have said, just listen on the app. And instead, I gave him the whole tease I delivered, and now he's off to some meeting. So now I'm behind on Three Strikes. So now I have to have you fill time. It's like when I MC these events and they're not ready yet for, the video's not ready, and they give me this sign. You know what this sign is? Stretch, right? That's when I start telling jokes or something up there. It's like a Jew... a priest and a Mexican walk into a bar, right? I never finish the joke, but that's always my...
You hope that they get ready by the time you'd have to find a punchline.
I will tell you a story about my dad who passed away about 12 years ago. And my brother delivered this. We both did the eulogy at my dad's wedding. And my brother's a very serious guy. He's a lawyer... He was the, academic one growing up and the whole thing. And, so he gives this eulogy at my dad's wedding and everybody's crying and he's like intense and all that. And then I was coming up after him. So I walk up and I grab the mic and I go, everybody's like, worn out. He spoke to my dad directly, who was sitting there and, his casket and everything else. And I'm got my arm around him. He's like worn out. And I go, whew, man, that was... Let me try to lighten up the mood a little. I go, a Jew, a Mexican, and a priest walk into a bar. And the priest says to the whatever, everybody, just basically to cut the tension. And then I gave what some people would say is one of my finest comedic performances, where I basically did a top 10 list of things my dad had never done in his life or whatever. But anyway, my point being, I can stretch if I need to stretch. You're going to have to stretch right now. Because you're going to give us our big game of the night, and I'm going to finish Three Strikes.
Well, the good news is that I talk a lot of sports. I watch a lot of sports, so I got a couple of options for you. John Foy, big game of the night, presented by John Foy & Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm for you stitch heads out there, baseball. Chase Burns and Garrett Crochet. I know Bo MLB TV subscription might be tuned into this one. Two of the best arms in baseball. Garrett Crochet, of course, for your Red Sox. Chase Bird's up-and-coming prospect there with the Reds. If you're dialed into soccer, you've got the FIFA Club World Cup Round of 16 continuing today. Inter Milan and Fluminense, and then Manchester City Al-Hilal after that. And day one at Wimbledon. Also getting going. I watch a couple of matches. American Madison Keys down a set right now. Lost the first set tiebreaker. Francis Tiafoe moved on. And Alcaraz is in action right now as well. So Braves off tonight. That would have been the obvious John Foy big game of the night. So we had to get creative. And I'll be locked into all of them.
All right.
Multiple TVs.
Well, I know I could trust you for that. I'll give you our three strikes question. Then we're going to do things I learned over the weekend, including getting an F1 review from our buddy Abe over here. First question is, the one place in the world that makes you think of summer. The one place in the world that makes you think of summer. For me, it would probably be going to summer camp in Maine. So it would be Waterville, Maine, where I went to Camp Manitou. Had the best summers of my life as a camper, and then a CIT, where you got to go out at night and hang with the girls' camp counselors and the whole deal. I learned a lot about life on those ball fields with those ladies. I'll just say that. The one place in the world that makes you think of summer, in honor of July 4th, give me a great American. Give me a great American. And in honor of Abe's 12 TVs, the friend with the best man cave and why. The friend with the best man cave and why. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. The one place in the world that makes you think of summer. Give me a great American and the friend with the best man cave and why. So we put that together literally in 40 seconds. Try to take, you see themes from the show, carry it over. You know, I just want you to see this. There is a science behind what I'm trying to do over here. And there's also a science to this. The third richest man on the planet got married to a former Fox reporter, sideline reporter. Then she was hosting all kinds of TV, Good Day Atlanta, Good Day LA, all these different things. She also has Tony Gonzalez's baby, among others, Lauren Sanchez, Jeff Bezos in Venice. The ultimate destination wedding. They're approximating $50 million spent by that couple. Or actually, wasn't spent by the couple. It was probably spent by the groom. That would be Jeff Bezos, the fourth richest man in the world. They had a Abe. It was like a destination wedding you've been to in, I don't know, Nashville, on steroids. It starts with a foam party. Then they had pool parties. Then they had the wedding. After the wedding, they have another party the next day, which was a pajama party. That the only way you could get to it was going on those boats. So you see the likes of, did you hear some of the folks on the wedding list?
I saw a name here or there.
So wedding list consisted of, hold on. Well, for one, the big rumor was late night, 2 a.m. on the wedding night. Sydney Sweeney. Where do you put Sydney Sweeney in the pantheon of hot women? Where does she land, Abe?
She's pretty high up there.
All-timer. Supposedly everybody wanted to talk to her at the wedding. Tom Brady and her dancing late night, reportedly, at the Bezos wedding. Also, the Kardashians. They had Oprah. They had, who's the dude who was married to or living with, what's her name, Katy Perry?
They broke up.
Yeah.
But Orlando Bloom?
So Orlando Bloom was feeling himself. For sure at the wedding.
Well, Brady, Bloom, and DiCaprio were hanging out. I did see that.
Yes. And then Sydney Sweeney was out with them one day bouncing around Venice. Listen, if this stuff annoys you, get over yourself. This is, Venice, by the way, is full of tourists. It's not like they sold their soul. They sold their soul a long time ago in Venice, right? So, like, all the protesters, they gave millions of dollars to some, you know, arts fund foundation and everything else. But if it was something that, yes, if you ever got invited to, you'd be at as well, and you'd be taken in the whole thing. But it was over the top, to say the least. No confirmation that Brady and Sweeney are together. Supposedly, Brady was dancing with numerous models at the wedding.
Look, there's like a love-hate relationship for me with Tom Brady. Obviously, as a football player, I hated him. But there's a level of respect there as well. I mean, if he pulls Sidney Sweeney after all this,
well,
like,
you
can end the GOAT conversation. Like, you can just end it.
So the final wedding bash performances, Usher and DJ Cassidy performed. And
Atlanta Braves first pitch thrower outer, Usher.
Bill Gates was there, among others. Also, Ivanka and Jared Kushner. And it was quite an event, to say the least. And Orlando Bloom seems to be bouncing back nicely, were all reports from the exit from Katy Perry. Speaking of good-looking, smooth dudes that clean up, Brad Pitt in F1, the movie. What do we got?
Yeah, it looks like a global box office opening of $144 million. It'd be interesting to see what sort of hit that takes this coming week in week two. Normally, movies have about a 30% drop-off, but with Jurassic World Rebirth, it might be even larger than that. Look, I know it's an Apple movie, and it's eventually going to come to Apple TV. This is a movie you need to go to the theater to see. And we kind of talked about it in terms of, like, the man cave, right? Who has the best man cave? Look, people can have theater rooms all they want. You've got to be in a theater to see this movie. Yeah.
Okay, so give me a grade, a letter grade.
Oh, I thought it was an A.
I thought
it was an absolute A.
Does 2.5 hours matter, or does it go quick?
No, it went quick.
All right, storytelling. Is there a real story?
Love the story.
Did it go?
In fact, and I mentioned this after I saw it on Friday, it did something to me that I think Rocky did for a lot of people, and that is you're actively rooting for them to do well in the races. I don't normally pull for characters in movies. I just watch the movie. Like, I was nervous. I wanted them to perform.
And then it translated to you watching more F1 over the weekend.
I did watch F1 in Austria there, and then I reminded myself why I don't really watch a lot of F1. Like, the runners, they were in the lead on lap one, and they just kind of stayed there for the next 50 laps, and that was the whole race. It's just like, all right, well, I led lap one, and no one passed me.
But the Quaker, speaking of learned, we learned that Chase Elliott has a really cute dog.
He does have a cute dog
that he had up with him at the finish there.
The Quaker Stain 400 available at Walmart there at Echo Park Speedway. A final lap pass of Brad Keselowski. It really turned into like just a method of survival for most of the laps. Could you just get to the final 10 laps? Because it was chaos and havoc out there.
But overall, they did a great job.
Awesome. And the fact that the rain didn't play as big a role as it looked like it could have Saturday night was great, too.
Yeah, so kudos to everybody there, especially to the morning shift that spent the weekend. Mike Johnson, let's just say he did not look like he does on the first day of Falcons training camp when he was a player, all ready to rock and roll and just get after it this morning. That was a man that had been through the ringer, for sure. Three straight nights in a RV with Bo Morgan and company.
It's hot out there.
It's real hot. I mean, we played, we also learned that pickleball is a great sweat when it's 95 degrees out. Got to play at our stomping ground over there at the JCC over the weekend.
Man, it's you would think that you need to be undercover. Even undercover doesn't help a lot right now. It's been so hot this weekend. The rain only cools it down while it's raining. It heats right back up. You got a good run with a couple guys I've played with, though, so I know that level of game.
Yeah,
I know your level of game.
I got smoked pretty good, but we got to play again soon. Anyway, those are some of the things I learned over the weekend. Let's do our three strikes. Let's get Tinker. How's the pig doing that heat? Tinker's got to go to the pig. And by the way, we need some new callers, too. 404-726-0929. Call us to get you right on. Tinker, how you doing? The pig do okay over the heat?
Oh, yeah. He's doing good. We keep him hydrated with Gatorade.
The one place in the world that makes you think of summer.
Whitewater.
Give me a great American.
Chris Kyle.
Who'd you say?
Chris Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
American Sniper.
Yes, sir. Great film, too. The friend with the best man cave in why?
It's my buddy Geiger. He's got anywhere from the pool table, classic arcade games like Mortal Kombat or anything like that. We get down there and talk a lot of trash.
Kareem the one place in the world that makes you think of summer?
Steak and my boy ATL. Steak, I got to go with my kinfolk's hometown, Crawfordville, Georgia, the Turner Family Fish Fry.
Give me a great American.
Got to go with my great-grandfather, Elmer Knox. He was a World War II vet and a Negro League baseball player.
The friend with the best man cave and why?
Steak is me by default. None of my other buddies have a man cave. I got all the man cave leading out to the pool with the Georgia Falcons, Braves, Hawks paraphernalia loaded down there.
Good stuff, buddy. Best man cave. I was at his house yesterday. Just one of those newfangled TVs, massive bar right next to it. He's got a simulator, golf simulator, pool table, air hockey, workout gym, wine cellar. I stay friends with him. I don't even like the guy that much, but when you have that much, no, he's a good dude. I kid. What I always say, you don't need a lake house. You don't need a house on the ocean. You don't need a sick man cave. You just need friends that have all those things and stay close to them. Nice being with you.
It was. I enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoyed it.
I'm going to be playing the role of Steak Shapiro a couple times on Wednesday.
Was this the fastest 2 hours in radio?
Always is.
Always. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Bo. Sandy back tomorrow. Bye.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast, chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.